blessed as well. Can you push forward? Thank you so much. Well, first row, well done, man. Haven't seen you for a long time. My daughter's an F1 fan. I need to talk to you now. She wants to know a lot about F1. Thank you, guys. Settle down. Thank you. Thank you. Come, Kurt. Thank you. Come, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for what you've allowed us to go through. Even yesterday, we pray for the efforts that we have on Block 61 at Geylang Bahru. We ask, O God, that your hand be upon us. Give us a good time on 12 November. Let us be. We pray, even as we send our leaders to go out there to hear about the marketplace Friday and even today, let there be germination of ideas. Lord, we know that in our hearts we will plan, but the Bible says that, Lord, you determine our steps. So, Lord, we pray only for one plan, the plan of God, to just manifest in the bits of the people. So bless us, watch over us, give us all you want us to do. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome. Some people are new to us. Hello. June, right? So now got senior June, got junior June, a lot of new, all same name. In my firm, there are three Daniels. You know how troublesome it is? Got one Daniel Go, one Daniel Ng, then another one Daniel. So one fella left already, but he didn't leave because his name was Daniel. But there's another guy, Daniel. I said, don't care. From now on, your name is not Daniel. You are Danny. I'm Daniel. Otherwise, people call Daniel. I also got to, who's talking for me? But as we come before the Lord, I want to just bring tidings. I think yesterday, some of us went for the Royston and the rest. We had a good time at the Block 61. This is my first time in a... These are rental flats, right? I went there and I was... Oh, I happened to be watching... I videoed Nyap and some of us saw in the chat. Nyap is an expert going around talking... Who's that, Oh, Leslie's friend, I see, Leslie's friend. So we're just going there. There was this man, old man. His house was like a lot of things, you know. I don't know whether it's a hoarder, and then there's some water on the floor. Nyap threatened, not threatened. Nyap wanted to offer to go and clean the place for him. So I think over and above just wanting to give food, and I was just talking to Joe, we want to be able to connect with people. You just give food, I mean, it's just give only one. Some lady asked, I also happened to be, was it, I can't remember who, I think it was Joe and Leslie. We asked, the auntie asked, you're coming every week? I said, no, once in 3 months to give the food. Every week in Boeing. But I wonder whether, apart from just giving food, sometimes we want to be high touch points to really bless people. Just go out there and strike a conversation. So if, for example, Phyllis go one time on 12 November, you went to this particular unit. 3 months later, when we go again, we would like Phyllis to go to that same unit so that there is that recurring theme of just being a blessing. I tell people, don't do token charity. Token charity means what? Sharon and Owen go one time, you not see them again until they see Jesus together, you meet them again. We don't want that. Make a mockery of what charity is. Token charity is not charity. That's just zohi. Charity means we want to be able to do something. Yeah, same time, we're not saying we're doing it for 10 years. Why don't we do it for a year first, and then we see how the Lord leads us. All right, so I want to just bring a report, and I think I was there just to take some videos, and I thought it was very interesting. Yep, it's like an expert going down. Then I didn't know Owen can speak Chinese. And for the first time, I hear people pronounce, I didn't even know that our church got Chinese name. I think he's saying, what's it in Chinese? I just repeat the English name, then So I was thinking, what's our name in Chinese? I was thinking, why? This one sounds like, don't know what. But whatever it takes. So guys, I want to just encourage us. We had a good time and we bring tidings. So hopefully this will spawn something that will bring glory to God. Whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever we don't do, whatever we don't dress, whatever we clothes, whatever we say, all glory to God. It's as simple as that. There's nothing else that matters. Whatever we do, whatever later Lord's communion and when we do it as well, we want to just, everything that we do, we give glory to God. All right, we had a privilege last week of just baptizing Joey. Your husband as well. There are a couple more that I know that will want to be baptized, but I'm so excited that people are coming in, even as we come before the Lord. Come now, we want to always, as usual, have some people to come and just to give a testimony. So today we have Clarissa to just share us a short word. So can we just welcome her?
Hi, I'm Clarissa. I'm here to share my testimony today. So I think any one of us here in this church, right, will have many, many things to thank God for. Personally, my life with Jesus has been a long, long while. And I can never thank him enough, really. So maybe I just want to share a short testimony about my own life. I'm a mother of three. I was supposed to have four. Okay. So what happened when I first met Daniel was when we lost the third one. So when I was pregnant with the third one, it was unexpected. So I went through the whole phase of, wow, why is it that I must get pregnant at this junction and all those things. So until when I finally accepted and says that, yes, I will deliver this child, then to realize that the child has no heartbeat and to realize that it was a belated ovum. So went through the whole process again. At week 6, we prayed very hard for heartbeat. Week 7, we were hoping for a miracle. And doctor was not very optimistic, lah. So the doctor says, at this junction, still don't have. So we wait again, come back again next week, like that. So it was a terrible journey, I would say. But we thank God for all good and bad things. Don't we? Yeah. Because I went through the whole acceptance to finally want to have that baby. And then the whole acceptance of losing that child again. But to think back now, I think God is good. Because if this child, if I had heard the heartbeat of the child and then lost it, if the child is not normal, I think I cannot take it either. So God gave me that time to prepare. And 8 weeks, on the 8 weeks, I don't have to go for any drainage or anything. The child just came out one Sunday in the toilet. Yeah. So I thought God prepared us well. Yeah. And then fast forward, we knew that, okay, I think we are ready for really a third child. So then we got conceived, really. So we got conceived with my number three now. And then again, humans being humans, so having three children and then finances became a very challenging thing for us. So day in, day out, I'm wondering, oh no, how am I going to have this child? How am I going to worry it? So when my cousin asked me, hey, Clarissa, how are you? I just broke down in tears and I cried. I tell him, I do not know how am I going to be prepared for this child that's coming. Fast forward now, my third child is 8 years old. And during that period of time, I want to tell you that the Lord just blessed. When it is from the Lord, He will just bless you. Okay? When I was telling my cousin that we have no finances, I don't know how, don't know who's going to take care. The first child, when my mother took care, her hands got injured. Second child, when my mother-in-law took care, she also got injured. So we were like, oh no, third child, I cannot quit my job. So who's going to take care? So that year, I had a pay rise, a very drastic pay rise. And that was sufficient for me to get a helper. And it was also sufficient for me to keep that helper all the way for the past 8 years. So I really, really thank God because He is the provider. So Clarissa gets a little emotional. All right. So this is the verse that we have. So even like now, I'm in the midst of moving house and all. We had renovation issues and all. On one of the Mondays, the furniture didn't come in. And then we were very stressful. So I asked the church leaders to pray. And I'm thankful that Wednesday, the furniture came in. Okay, so the wonders of prayer and to always trust in the Lord. So this is the verse that I have. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your path straight. So indeed, through my many years with Him, ups and downs, God has always never failed me. He always answers prayers. Sometimes we have to wait a longer while, but it doesn't mean that, oh, He's not listening, but He is there. Wait and lean on Him. Okay, that is my short sharing. Thank you.
Check 1, 2. So be careful, Sabrina, if he has the fourth one. If you go and help, your hand may get injured. So I warn you first. What a wonderful testimony. I therefore know of a few couples in the church that have had this experience of having children and see. God didn't promise that when you become a Christian, got no trouble. He didn't say that. He did say that He'll be with us and he did say that he will just watch over us. There's a bit of feedback, Leon, are we okay? Can you hear me? Got some feed. Check one, let me just check. I want to bring us to the Word of God for those of us who are with us. Sorry, sounds a bit strange. Leon, sorry, I'm hearing some feed. Is it from here? Okay, ma. Bring it on. One. Okay, sounds better. All right, thank you, guys. I want to just continue with what we have been doing. For those who are new to us, June and, is that your husband? Mark, is it? Hello, how are you? You look so young and handsome. Make me feel so whatever. We have been going on this series on identity, and today is the third one. And we have always wanted to just put some factors to come to play as to establish what our identity, when our identity is in God. We made it very clear. And then we've gone over in a couple of weeks. Last week, we talked about how our identity, one factor or something that will be the ingredient of consciousness, that in our identity being as sons of God, children of God, we need to be conscious of who God is and conscious of our standing before God. And I think last week, we had a good time just talking about those things. Today, I want to just follow through from what we talked about last week. The second C that we want to talk about today is the one that, let me just check, we talked about consciousness last week, and today we wanted to talk about something else, and let me just get my slides ready. We wanted to talk about, hang on, where are my slides? They seem to be disappearing. Not there, lost it. We want to talk about being connected to God. It's not here, right? Is this the one? Hang on. It's consciousness, that's not the one. Right? I don't know why it died. Today we want to talk about connections, the second C, about being connected to God. And as you talk about being connected to God, there are a lot of ways you're connected to God. Number one, we're connected to God through nature. I want to talk about being connected to God through nature, and I want to talk about in the next week when I come back again, I think it's in November, I want to talk about being connected to God through pre-believers, and I want to talk about also connected to God in the community, the people of God. But before we even go there, I wanted to just also touch base and tell us a bit about something that I talked about last week. Last week, thanks, the next slide, Leon. Last week, I mentioned Ecclesiastes 3:1. Can I go to the next slide, Leon? Ecclesiastes 3:1 talks about this word. He has also set eternity in it. Conscious of the fact that we are going to be eternity. We are here on earth just for a while, Sabrina. We are aliens on earth, citizens in heaven. If you don't get this right, you got a problem. Huh? If you think that you are citizens on earth and aliens in heaven, your life is not worth living. Or for the matter, Phyllis or Tawei or anybody else, if your life is about just being alive on earth and there's nothing else to look forward to, it's also not worth living. We must live our life on the basis that what is relevant is eternity. You must understand that, Mark and also June. If you don't know that after this life there's eternity, your life is not worth living. How many more years you have? You may look very young, but you'll reach my age very fast, you know. And if you don't watch it, you'll reach his age. And then after you reach TG, say, sorry, TG is younger than him. But you'll reach the age very quickly. But as we come before the Lord, we must understand something, that it is important to have eternity in the human heart. Eternity means that Sharon Owen, one day, you'll meet again up there. It's either Owen or Sharon goes first on earth, but they will meet again. Human heart. How does eternity look like? When you talk about eternity, we talk about, let's say you talk about Mark and June and Wing and Sabrina, you'll be eternity. Some people have this misconception of how eternity looks like, right? When you talk about eternity, you will think of something. And with that, I wanted to just ask CK, CK looks like him. Ask TG to come up. Can we just welcome TG? Give me a chair. Wing, give me a chair. June, don't laugh. Come up, so. Come. Can I have two chairs? Bring me 2 chairs. Wing. Can pick up. June, come. Don't worry, I won't torture you. When was the last time I torture you? I never torture you before. Today may be the first time. Only one time. It's okay. Sit down. Now picture, if you think of heaven, what do you think of? Now let me give you a visual. These two of them are in heaven now. Okay? They're in heaven now. They passed on already. Leon cried many years already. Joe also cried many years already. They are now in heaven. They're in heaven. What do you think of? What do you do in heaven? Sabrina? Praise. Praise God. Okay. What do you do in heaven? Eat ice kacang? What do you do in heaven? Nothing. So some people think that in Mark, I ask you first. Hey, come to my church. Very scary. Every time I ask questions, I know. Mark, in heaven do what? Huh? Relax. Very well. Okay. I want you to relax. I want you to worship. Now, what color clothes do you wear? Tawe. Purple? White? Why everybody white? The heaven got say white man in heaven? Okay, never mind, white. And if they play musical instrument, what instrument would they play? Harp. Okay, very well. All y'all say one. Okay, ready? So they're in heaven now. Can you all visualize? This guy just had a heart bypass recently. You visualize him now wearing that white clothing with nothing underneath. Don't imagine what's underneath. But it is white. He's wearing nothing underneath. This one, nurse, also. You laugh what? You also in white. Leon, sorry. Nothing underneath. Okay, now. Relax, right? Okay, you stand up. They are all wearing white. Now play the harp. Play the harp. Eternity, right? Question. Play for how long? Young June, Junior June. Play for eternity. So the whole life, if you guys are correct, they are wearing white, she's relaxing, he's wearing white, and he does nothing else but relax and worship God. Is this heaven? Doesn't sound very heaven to me. But can we thank them? Thank you, guys. Bring the chair down. I've got a problem. Thank you so much. Actually, I was thinking, I wanted to tell them, the two of you, I don't care how, wear white today. And wear nothing else underneath. No, I didn't say that. But guys, we've got a problem doctrinally if you think that this is eternity. My next slide was, let me show you, I already showed you. If you, and that is the problem, isn't it? A lot of us think that heaven means wear white and maybe show on halo and then relax or just praise God 24/7 for the rest of your life. Is eternity looks like? If that's your connection with God for the rest of eternity, I ask you to think again. Let me show you some verses that I thought is new. Okay, if you go to Revelations, go to the last book of the Word of God, you go to Revelations, and I want to show you Revelations chapter 21. Can you go to Revelations 21? And that will be a good starting point. If you are there, Revelations 21, I'm going to start talking about it. Revelations 21, Kurt, it says here, a new heaven and a new earth. One day, there will be a new what? Heaven and a new earth. So the earth now may not do very well, right? Climate change and what have you. I had a friend who told me, I had a friend, Royston, who just went to, where did Chin Chin go? I think Arctic or Antarctic, one of those, and wherever you sit on the boats. He says, Daniel, you want to go, you better go in the next 5 years. You know why? The glaciers all melting already. It is so, so evident. If you don't go in the next 5 years, there's nothing else. Made the whole thing wonkers. But it is going to be a new heaven and new earth. Revelation 21, I'm going to read the verses 21, chapters 1 to chapter 21, verses 1 to 5. Stick with me. Verse 1 says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying of pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Revelation 21 tells us that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. I am waiting for that to happen, a new heaven and a new earth. What does that mean in relation to what we know? And I want to just again go back to my slides, which has lost. I've lost it again for some reason. It keeps going off. Maybe it's the Dropbox thing. In 21 verses 1 to 5, I've read for you what the new heaven and new earth looks like. And then in Romans 8:18, I'll tell you also the Word of God says, all of creation groans for its own redemption, even as humanity waits for ours. What will it look like when we have the new heaven and new earth? This tells you that there will be a new heaven and new earth, or I'll have some good news for you. Verse 3 says, a loud voice from the Lord training, God says, look, God's dwelling place is among His people, and He will dwell with them. So when you go up there, it will not be only TG and June just wearing white and doing nothing but relax and play marbles and what have you. He will dwell among His people. And verse 4 says, He will wipe away every tear. There'll be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying or pain, for the new order of things has passed away. That is what it's going to look like when it comes to eternity. He who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. Now, you then will ask me, so what about it? How will that look like and what does that mean for me? Let me also tell you that apart from knowing that this is the new earth and new heaven, a lot of things will come into play. You look at verse 24 in chapter 21, verse 24. I skip all of it, but I'll tell you in the new city of Jerusalem, this is what you will see. In verse 24, the nations will walk by His light, and the kings of the world will bring their splendor. Will ever be shut, for there'll be no night there. There'll just be day, no night. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is, next page, shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. 24 tells you that the nations will walk by night. So in the heavens, will there be nations? There will be. Will there be nations? And what will happen? The kings of the earth will bring the splendor to it. So when we go up to heaven, there are nations and there are kings. There's going to be transactions. On no day will there be ever the gates be shut. There will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. So I want to tell you that there's something interesting that's going to happen up in heavens above. Yes, praise God, and we should do it and worship God. Just praising God. I'm sorry, if that was the only thing they're going to do, I'll be a bit bored, you know. Just sing, 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 sing. Cannot be, right? Those people who made lozenges will be really earning a lot of money. You'll be singing and doing nothing else. I want you to look at Isaiah 60. You flip to the Word of God, Isaiah 60. It tells you to be read with revelations of what it looks like up in the heavens above. Isaiah 60. I read Isaiah 60, verse 6. Herds of camel will cover your land, young camels from Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. Verse 9. Tarshish, bringing your children from afar with their silver and gold to the honor of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for He has endowed you with splendor. This chapter 60 talks about the glory of Zion. It is a foreshadow of what it will look like in heaven. In verse 60, in chapters Isaiah 60, it says here, the glory of Zion, arise, shine, for your light has come. and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. And then it goes on to talk about nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn in verse 3. And I read for you in verse 9 and in verse 6, and all from Sheba will come bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. Verse 9 says, surely the islands look to me, and the lead are the ships of Tarshish. Why am I reading all these things to you? I'm going to suggest to you that up there in the heavens above, when we go there one day, there will be transactions, there will be kings, there will be things that we make that will still be relevant. These are the things that if we set in eternity, you must know your identity. What you do now on earth, it is not going to be sayang and not going to be used up there. It will be something that the Lord can use. And on that note, I have already shown you in Isaiah 66, 69, and even 60, 11. Your gates will always stand open so that people will bring you the wealth of the nations. See the slides. So the day will come that people will still bring the wealth of the nations. So you juxtapose Isaiah 60 with Revelation 21 that I read for you. The kings of the earth will bring their splendor into that city. Glory and honor of the nations will be brought to it. Can I suggest to you that it is not just worshiping God? Your identity in Christ makes you a child of God. When you are here for your 60, whatever years old now, how many more years, I don't know. Doesn't mean that you're older than me that I won't go first. Whoever go first, we'll meet again. When we go up there, we're not only wearing white, but we're also going to be doing things or continue to do things that will bring glory to God. Is there a chance, Phyllis, that there will be an iPhone 25 up in the heavens? Is there a chance that whatever, Sabrina, that you have worked on, let's say you're an inventor, you invented some piece of equipment up there? Or are you only going to just wear white, nothing underneath, and every day just sing song and do nothing else? What do you guys think? Or is that an eternity that is something for us to look forward to? But 21 verse 4 says, I've got good news. No death, no crying, no mourning, no pain. But some, I don't know what, but I can be certain that some of the things that we have done, we will see them in this form. Otherwise, think about it. Very sayang, right? Whatever's invented, God gave us the creativity, God gave us the wisdom. You do the whatever product, and when you go up there, there's nothing, empty. No inventions that will be helpful. So I want to tell you that all of these things, it will be something that God can use when we go up there. Can you just slide down to where I had a slide after Romans 8:18? Slide back, Leon. You see the word creation? Can you push down? Thank you. In Genesis chapter 1, last week when you were not there, we had four words that I thought was very interesting, right? And John, let's talk about it. God. And then in chapter 1, you saw for yourself, in beginning God created the land, the seas, and then the animals, we named them, and then the human beings made to be imaged like Him. I want to suggest to you that first and foremost, that's creation, right? That is the plan. God created you and I on the basis that we look like Him. The lions don't look like Him, the seas don't look like Him, the land don't look like Him, only we look like Him. No need to be embarrassed about it. If you look like Him, you look like Him. When you and I look like God, and if you think that you look at yourself and you don't look like God in certain things that you do, then you better make sure that you try to be looking more like God each and every day. We're supposed to conform image God. First thing that God wants to do is He tells you that He created us. Genesis 1 and 2, good news. Created us in the garden, we're doing fine. Genesis 3, we all went down south. From Genesis 3, it's all bad news. Why? Because the fall of man. So first and foremost, creation is good news. Second bad thing that happened, first bad thing that happened is, after Genesis 1 and 2, Genesis 1 and 2 is all good news, right? Created this, created that, and later I tell you, God told us to till the land to cultivate. Genesis 3, IV, all went downhill because we started to sin. We disobeyed God. God told us not to eat the fruit from the tree. We ate the forbidden fruit and it went down south. So from the fall, creation, the next thing you have is you have to fall. But after the fall, good news. Who came? Who came to redeem us? Jesus came. So when you have creation, number two, you have the fall, but the redemption of God has already happened. But in the context of eternity, what will be the restoration? Eternity means that one day, June, we will all go back to God. We will go to a place that is even better than Eden. Joey, isn't that something to look forward to? Rather than just sing song. Rather than just praise God. But there will be activities. Do you think there will be animals up there, Owen? Do you think we're supposed to laugh and be joyful? Will there be good food? Will the streets be paved with gold? Will we recognize each other? Looking for it. Another lawyer just passed away, 50-something years old, in the office. An Indian lawyer. Don't know something about lawyers passing away in the office. This year already a few. Work halfway, just knock off. So I told my colleagues, hey, y'all please, everybody watch for this. After the fellow talk, next thing you know, the fellow is lying on the floor. But we don't know when we're going to go. But when you go, you know there's eternity to look forward to. So in the context of knowing your identity, I think it's important to know that, number one, God sets eternity in your heart. But what does eternity look like? Revelations tell us this is how it looks like. No more tears, no more crying, full of joy. But show the next slide, please. Thank you. This is Tim Mackey, who started, I think he's one of the, if not the guy who started Bible Project. He says this: the union of heaven and earth is what the story of the Bible is all about. How they were once united, God and man, isn't it? Garden of Eden until the fall, driven apart, and how God is going to bring them back together once again. Isn't that what worth looking forward to? The whole thing will come back again. Creation, fall, Jesus came back to redeem, the full restoration, and then we all go. 回天国. That is something that we'll look for. Or what we do here, that. Next slide, please. I'm of the view that we'll work in heaven. I have the view that what some of the things that we do here matter. And I've already shown you in the chapters in book Revelations 21 and Isaiah 60 that there's the transaction of gold and incense, and there'll be a lot of things that we do that will matter to God. I want to show you a slide, and it will be further down after Revelations and Isaiah. N.T. Wright says this. Leon, can you push down the next slide? Thank you. N.T. Wright says this: you're accomplishing something that will become in due course part of God's new world. Isn't that something to think about? You, Gun, are accomplishing something that will become in due course part of God's new world. The new world awaits us, Joey. So whatever you do, it will be something that God can use in the heavens above. Revelations 20:22. Looking at Revelations 21, if you now go to me, which is the last book of the Bible, Eden Restored. Isn't that restoration? The book, at least for my version of the Bible, the header to chapter 22 is Eden Restored. Look with me to chapter 22, Revelations, so that there's hope for all of us. Eden Restored, verse 1, chapter 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. I like that, chapter 3, verse 3, chapter 22. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face. Owen, good news. You'll see God. Now we have to say, God, I really can't see you, but I know you are there. Unless God shows you revelation, shows you, but you will see God. They will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. So next time, Owen, I recognize you. You and I got something in common, no? Our name, his name will be on her foreheads, right? There will be no more night. There will not be the need for the light of a lamp or the light of the sun. For the Lord God will give them light and they will reign forever and ever. Chapter 22, verse 6. The angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. And I end with verse 7. Look, the word of God says, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the word of the prophecy written in this scroll. A lot of people, I don't know whether a lot of people talk, right? They all talk, hey, when is Jesus coming? If I do a straw poll now, I ask you, when do you think Jesus will come? If I ask you, do you think he'll come during your lifetime? Some people will say, Phyllis will say, maybe during your lifetime. Some people, if you ask them, Sharon Owen, will they, if they don't come during your lifetime, will they come during your when your grandparents' lifetime? Some people will put up hands. Or maybe it will come only after we are all gone. I don't know. I only know that it is coming soon and I'm going to live my life on the basis that as I know the identity I have in God, that eternity is in place in my heart, I look with eager anticipation and Revelations 21 and 22 tells me it's going to happen, that there will be restoration of Eden. He came to create us, we were created in the image of God. The fall, the Genesis, humans made mistake. Genesis 3 all the way is bad news, but the day will come, there'll be restoration. When did restoration start? When Jesus came to die for us. As we seek to better understand our identity, Dion, can you show the next slide? As we seek to better understand our identity in God, our connection with him should permeate, affect our connection with nature, with fellow men who do not know him, and fellow men who know him. Today, as I want to come to the end of this, I want to talk about how, as we better understand our identity, it is also required that we have a connection, right? The connection with nature. Nature meaning the things that are natural, all right? And I want to talk to you about our responsibility, even as human beings. I want to ask you, do you think we have a responsibility to preserve the earth? Is there a responsibility on our us to make sure that we don't overuse the earth, deplete the resources so much so that there will be an apocalypse in terms of climate? Is there a need for us believers to do something about all the things that are happening? How many of us use plastic bags? I'm actually so appalled myself. Sometimes when you go and tapao, right? How many you buy from this store, you buy from this store, you buy from this store, this store. How many plastic bags you use? How many of those recyclable, whatever thing that you bring home, tapao? How many of us actually enjoy sitting in the car sometimes and then your engine is on? Do you know that actually it's illegal? I'm telling you as a lawyer. Mark, do you drive? Sorry, I'm picking on you. Kurt, do you drive? Kurt drives. Do you know that you're not supposed to leave your engine on? Are you aware? Your car engine, when you're waiting for a light to turn, of course. But do you know that if you're in a car park lot, you're not supposed, or someplace waiting for people, you're not supposed to switch on the engine and leave them outside, and then you die inside there, they say you're more in sea, right? But you are not supposed to do that. Quite apart from the fact that it's environmentally not friendly. What is our responsibility as believers in relation to the things that we need to do? Our connection with nature. I want to tell you first that there is a responsibility that we have towards nature. Great responsibility. What is our responsibility? Genesis 1 and 2 already tells us something, isn't it? Look with me to Genesis chapter 1, 27 to 28. Chapter 1, 27 to 28. All of us should know this verse very well. But let me just go to verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the seas and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals. That is what chapter 1, verse 26 says. And it goes on to say that. My hands are freezing. Let me just go to my Bible in chapter Genesis 1:26. You cold, because you only wear white. They may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over and all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." I want you to go to Genesis 2:15. Next chapter. Genesis 2:15, the God, Lord, said to him, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Question. If you look at Genesis 1:27-8 and Genesis 2:15, I got a question for you. Do we owe a responsibility to preserve earth? After reading this, it's as simple as that. Nowadays, when I go down to buy my tea, what I do is I go out to my office first. I have this coffee shop that I always go to. It's about, into this coffee shop, you know which one, 200 meters away. I go up, release to my office, I take my cup, I put everything down, I take the cup. People are looking at it, who is this idiot? Take the cup. I take to the coffee shop. Uncle, what's my drink? Teh C, siu tai. I drink nothing else. $0.30. Number two, I don't use plastic. Number three, the one they use plastic, $1.50. It is not the 20 cents. It's my act of telling myself, I need to do my part. When you go and buy food, do you use what is the thing called tong kang? I know it's tough. I'm also speaking to myself. Sometimes so convenient, just tapao and then. But have you seen the amount of plastic bags you all use? Pain. And now so much quieter once the aircon is off. Aircon also. Do we all need so much aircon? The Lord took the man, Sharon and Owen, put them in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. It doesn't say to work it, max it out, and wait for the new earth. Is there going to be a new earth? There is. There's eternity. But there is still a responsibility to preserve. As we talk about our identity, we need to know our connections. Our connections that we understand that. Why is it so important that we connect with nature? Let me visualize with you. And today I try to visualize. Now I ask you to think about God, okay? I want you to praise God. I put you in two scenarios. Number one, today I was at Block 82 Marine Parade at the car park. All the cars around me, all the cars, all some of them engine on, and then I'm facing don't know which block of Marine Parade. All around me is concrete and buildings and hot sun, very hot, and engine on, and all the people impatient wanting to get a car park lot. All of us all praying for a lot. That's one scenario, talking about praising God. Or if I put you in a forested area, no car. You hear birds chirping. You even hear the frog. The answer is obvious. Is it easier to worship God? The Bible, and I'm going to show you the Bible, even the hills, they sing for joy to God, right? the nature. God created both what? Us and also nature. And just like I told you, Romans 8, even the creation groans and waits for the redemption. But isn't it so much easier if we spend time with God in a nature setting whereby we are able to just move away from everything and spend time? I was just talking to Joe. Joe, Tichy's wife, used to hate nature. So she tells me. But now she enjoys walking. Is it Bishan Park? In the morning, just going out there, spending time with God. I wonder whether some of us do that. To really pull yourself out from all the urban jungles and go out there and really spend time listening to God. There's something about nature, God's creation, that reminds us of Him, isn't it? When you go overseas, I don't know about you, I always like to land in the city. Of course, I have to spend a couple of days here and there, a bit of shopping. But get out there, go to the suburbs or go out there to the forest area. That's why I like to go vineyards. Actually, I hate to drink no nyam. Nyam, you know what? I don't like drinking. I actually like just go vineyard just to look at the nice greenery. But when, if I go with people like nyam, I'm going to drink, no choice. But I like the greenery. I like nature because when I look at nature, I'm reminded of God. So what do we do? Do we really have a responsibility to just preserve earth? Psalms 8. Look at Psalms 8. And I'm just going to show you some of these verses that may be helpful to all of us. Psalms 8 verses 3 and 4. Will you go to Psalms 8 verses 3 and 4? Psalms 8 verses 3 and 4. From the mouths of babies and infants at the breast, you establish strength because of your foes, in order that you might silence the enemy and the avenger. Never mind, that sounds very strong. Verse 4, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars that you set in place, what are mere mortals that you concern yourself with them? Humans that you watch over them with such care. When I look at your heavens, when you go out there, moving away from all the urban jungle, when you go out there, when you at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars that you set in place. What are mere mortals that you set in place? What are mere mortals you concern yourself with them, that you watch over us with such care? Can I suggest to you that when you go to nature, you get perspective? Do you know that when you look at nature, you can recognize a lot of things you cannot control? Have you gone to Niagara Falls? What is there you can control? There's nothing you can control. When you look at nature, you find, number one, your problem is very small. Number two, you remember God. You remember to praise God. Number three, you put things in perspective. You always think that you can control a lot of things, my friend, when you see the nature. Have you tried controlling a lion eating a zebra? Have you tried controlling the ants where they go? You can't control anything. But when you look at nature, you're reminded of God. And that's what I want to tell you. Verses 3 to 4. Number 2, nature draws us closer back to Him. Number 3, nature praises God. And I already just showed you Psalms 8 verse 4. Go with me to Psalm 65. A few more things. Psalm 65, 12 to 13. Psalm 65, 12 to 13. You crown the year with your goodness. 65, 12. Your tracks overflow with richness. The desert pastures drip water. The hills are wrapped with joy. The meadows are clothed with flocks. And the valleys blanketed with grain. So they shout for joy and break the song. Even nature will praise God. The desert pastures drip water. I don't know your version, but I'm reading the complete Jewish Bible version. The hills are wrapped with joy. The meadows are clothed with flocks. The valleys blanketed with grain. So they shout for joy and break to song. The next slide, please, Leon. But nature also shows that God cares for it. And if God cares for nature, what more us? If you look at, and we all know these verses, right? Matthew 6, but I'll show it to you once again. Look at Matthew 6 with me, will you? Matthew 6, verse 25-30. Any believer after a while would have come to this sooner or later. Therefore, I tell you, Matthew 6, 25, don't worry about your life. What you will eat, drink, what you wear, isn't life more than food? there and you look at the birds. Look at the birds flying about. When you go to the vineyard, we see all the nice trees, the birds, you see the dogs playing catch. They neither plant nor harvest the birds. Look at the birds, verse 26. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than that wing? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you be worried? Why are you anxious about clothing? Think about the fields of wild irises and how they grow. This fields neither work nor spin thread, yet I tell you, not even Shlomo in all his glory was clothed as beautifully as one of those. It's King Solomon. If this is how God clothes grass in the field, which is here today, gone tomorrow, thrown in the oven, won't he much more clothe you? But I hope if you look at Matthew 6, 25, 30, you see a God that not only loves us. This we always think about this and say, yeah, you see, God says, right, if even the birds he clothe and the grass he looks after, what more men? I understand that. But don't miss the point. God also. If we just. Any plastic bag, just use, buy tea, today drink 3 tea, means 3 tea cup, after that just throw. Do you know that we have this place whereby, this is, my friend works there, I don't know what island, starts with an S, whereby we put all our rubbish, what's it called? Samakau, or don't know what cow, right? Do you know that we're running out of space? I tell you first, my friend works there. I say, how is it? He say, bo wei liao. A and E also got no space, right? This one, no space, running out. At the rate we are going, do some of you go to the beach? Have you tried going to waddle at some of the seabeds? Do you see plastic bags there? Do we have a responsibility to work and to take care of the land? You know, the Bible says, and I'll end with this, we're supposed to preserve. And God put Sharon and Owen on this earth. What is your mandate? What does God want you to do? Save souls, right? Tell people about Jesus. Not tell the lions, right? Lions don't even know the concept of sin. Remember last week I said, the lion eat the zebra, they don't know what sin is. Lion eat zebra. But if Sharon Owen do something wrong, they have a concept because they're made to the image of God. They have that consciousness we talk about. But if Sharon Owen needs to reach out to fellow human beings, I think implicit in that is we need to be able to preserve and to be showing that we're good stewards. Stewardship is what Christians need to do. Are you a good steward, Ivy, of the finances? I would like to think so. How many of us live hand to mouth? Clarissa was just talking about how, you know, very scared got the third child, right? But God bless them, their stewardship, and God watch over us. Do we have stewardship over our finances? Do we have stewardship over our earth? Or do we just, God, you're going to come soon, doesn't matter. Or is this something we need to do? There's some connection in relation to nature. There's some connection in our mind. Remember last year I talked about it. God gave us only the lion? No. Romans 8 says that if you believe in God, you have the Spirit. God gave us the Spirit. You are able to connect with Him. But when you connect with Him, He also sent all the signals around there. When you are out there in nature, it is so easy to listen to Him. I was just reading it just now. I think it's Isaiah 60. You know what is praise? The Word of God says, and I end this, silence is praise. What's that mean? Why? Because when you're silent, you are hearing God. Silence is praise. You don't have to sing to praise God, no. You just have to sit there and think about God and in your mind utter and just maybe sitting out there in the hills and looking at the nature and you keep silent. Is that praise? Absolutely. With that, I'm going to ask Gunn to administer the Lord's Supper. But as we come before the Lord today, I want to end with this. There is a responsibility for us to work. Although in eternity, we will still meet up with Him, there will be work. I don't know what kind of work. I want to find out more. But there will be work. There will be things that we need to do. God will continue to fulfill our the skills and the talents we have. We will be doing something, not just singing songs to Him. There's a need for us to take care of the land, our identity. Who are we? We are believers. If there are some pre-believers who just go out there, litter here and there, throw rubbish and don't take care of the earth, my friend, we cannot join them. Last slide. In order to preserve and save lives, I want to suggest to you, implicit in that, we need to save and preserve the earth. Are you the salt and light of this earth? No pun intended. The salt that God gives us, the salt. I've said it before, and maybe some of you don't know. Do you know what salt is done for, Cindy? Sometimes when we cook, we think salt is just to preserve, right? When you have salt, for example, maybe last time with my mother, when you got some blood or some scar, what you do? Put some salt, is it? Something to get preserve us. Wow. This is about agriculture. God tells us to till the land, right? Do you know that salt is also a fertilizer? Do you know that actually you take salt, you throw into the thing, right? Into the cow dung, whatever. It is fertilizer, it's to cause growth. Salt and light. Are you the salt and light? You need to understand there's so many things at play. You need to preserve, you also need to cause growth. You need to steward, you need to maintain. I know we need to do, we need to drive, but sometimes maybe you don't need to drive so much. I have an MRT station coming up near my house, Angela. I intend to take MRT. Soon. Next time come to my house, take MRT. Doorstep. Really doorstep. Come out 200 meters. Whatever you eat, whatever you do in your identity as Christ, all glory. Communion today. Think about eternity. That should excite you. But until we meet Him face to face, there's something we need to do on earth. How do we connect with nature? How do we treat nature? How do we account to God for what He's told us to do? Your job and my job. To work, to till the land, and to take care of it. Let's pray. I'm going to ask Karen to just come up and also play, and as well, Gun, just lead us in the time of Lord's Supper.
Can I invite all to stand? Yeah, it's interesting that today, we are on this series of identity, Daniel is covering the topic on connections, right? I think it's God's plan. You know, the Holy Communion, the word communion, according to Cambridge Dictionary, communion is defined as a close relationship with someone. So a communion is an act or time of sharing an intimate fellowship, and in this case, a fellowship with God. So as we remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, may we also have this sacred time of fellowship with God. So First Corinthians 11:27-29, Paul reminded us. Verse 27, it says, "So now, whoever eats the bread in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. So before we partake the elements, let us take a minute of self-examination. As we come before the Lord, confess our sins, repent, get it right with Him. Can we have a minute to do this? You to kneel as a posture of surrender. And as you prepare the elements, peel off the first layers. So Luke 22:19-20, Jesus, He took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them and saying, "This is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the bread together. Same way, after the supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Let us drink of the cup." In John 6:54-56, this is what Jesus said. "Whoever eats my flesh, drinks my blood, has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh, drinks my blood, remains in me, I in them. Father in heaven, thank you for the sacrifice that you have made so that we have eternal life. Lord, strengthen our connections with you so that we continue to have this intimate fellowship with you. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us will grow in our journey with you and come closer and closer with you. Lord, watch over us, bless us, teach us, guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand.
This song, you ready? Just settle down. I'm going to just end this service. We're singing this song. You just look at Psalms 8, verse 4. "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars that you set in place, what are mere mortals that you concern yourself with them? Humans that you watch over them with such care." Father, thank you as we come before you. Lord, thank you for the word from my brother Gunn. Help us to connect with you in Jesus' name. Will you sing with me? "O Lord our God.
O Lord our God, how excellent your name is. How excellent your name in all the Your glory fills the heavens beyond the furthest star. How excellent your name in all the earth."
From the top again, "O Lord, our God."
"O Lord, our God, how excellent your name is. How excellent your name in all the earth. glory fills the heavens beyond the farthest stars. How excellent your name in all the earth. When I think about the heavens, the moon and all the stars, I wonder what you ever saw in me. But you took me and you loved me, and you. And now I'll praise you, Lord. Oh Lord, our God, how excellent your name is, how excellent. Heavens beyond the furthest stars, how excellent your name is. All the sisters, you sing, oh God, our God, how excellent. To sing, when I think about the heavens,
when I think about the heavens, the moon and all the stars, I wonder what you ever saw in me. But you took me and you loved me, and you now I'll teach your name eternally. Excellent your name is, how excellent your name in all the earth. Your glory fills. Your glory fills the heavens. Your glory fills the heavens beyond the furthest star. How excellent your name. One more time. Your glory fills the heavens. Lord, we look forward to heavens. Your glory fills the heavens beyond the furthest stars. How excellent. Your glory fills the heavens beyond the furthest stars.
We're going to just come to the end of this service. Silence is praise. I want us all to just come before the Lord and be silent before the great God. You know, as you sing this song, I hope you just remember God. Who are we to deserve to be conforming to His image? The things that we do, the things we do pertaining to the earth, the things we do pertaining to not honoring our parents, the things we do at work that is bringing shame to the name of God. Father, we come before you. Will you be silent before Him? And let this time of silence, introspection, be praise unto Him. Will you examine yourself and give praise to Him by being silent? Thank you, Jesus. And with a hand of posture, I invite you to just open your palms before the Lord in the position of just receiving from Him. The Lord says to you, you are made in my image, in my likeness. The Lord gives you dominion over the fish and the seas and the birds in the skies, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creations that move along the ground. And female, He created you. The Lord blessed you and said to you, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every on the ground. I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed. All the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that's the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And so it will be. And you know what? And with this I end. God saw all that He made, and it was very good. Father, thank you. Thank you for giving us that awesome responsibility of being the image and likeness of you. Lord, give us that responsibility and help us to discharge it well. Give us stewardship of all the resources you have placed upon us. Thank you for the dominion. We receive it, humility. Help us to be a tremendous blessing to the community that's inside of us. Help us to preserve nature. Do what we can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. We'll dismiss. See you next week. God bless you.